drawn and colored, and sequences were drawn and redrawn until the directors were satisfied. This is why The Black Cauldron, for all its shortcomings, had taken 10 years to produce, and why Disney produced only one animated feature every 4 years. To most of the animators, and to Roy, Mouse Detective became an ominous experiment in cost control. The same low-cost laborers who did television animation performed much of the hand coloring. Shapes were boldly outlined in black and filled in with simple, flat colors. While Roy was dismayed by the quality of some of the drawings, he told the animators that they had to go along to show Eisner and Katzenberg that they were team players. Despite all the cost-cutting efforts, The Great Mouse Detective eventually cost $14 million and took 2 years to produce. By the time it was released, there was little enthusiasm for it within Disney, though Roy thought the film was delightful. Even without much marketing, it grossed $38 million, a modest success. The poor quality of the animation gave Stan Kinsey another opportunity to push for the new computer project he was developing with Pixar, even though it became clear that the price tag was going to be more than $12 million. Rochlis, during his brief tenure as head of new technology, had vetoed it as too expensive. Kinsey couldn't elicit any interest from Katzenberg, Eisner, or Wells, so he finally went to Roy. "I'm going to need your help on this," he said. "I can't seem to get this going. Rochlis is trying to kill it. Can I show you what we're working on? Come up to see Lucas with me and take a look." Roy joined the delegation for their next visit, and he, too, was won over by the potential to reinvent animation. When he got back, Roy tried to make the case to Wells, but Wells and Eisner balked. While willing, even eager, to take creative risks, Eisner was wary about spending money on something no one would see. In this instance, Wells agreed. "We're not an R&D company," he said. "It's going to cost twice as much as they say, and I don't believe it will ever save us a dime." Roy and Kinsey refused to give up. At one of their meetings at Pixar, Ed Catmull, Pixar's acting chief executive, indicated that Lucas was facing a financial restructuring due to his pending divorce, and Pixar needed capital to replace Lucas's stake. Kinsey immediately sensed opportunity in Pixar's distress. Disney was contemplating spending $12 million anyway, and now Catmull indicated that for an investment in the neighborhood of $15 million, Disney could own half the company. "We need the money, and this would be a perfect fit," Catmull argued. When he got back, Kinsey scheduled an appointment with Katzenberg. On the way to the meeting, he ran into Rochlis and excitedly told him about the chance to buy Pixar. "I think we should," Kinsey said. "If we do a deal with them, we're going to be funding them anyway. If we owned them, we could negotiate better fees. I'm going to present this to Jeffrey." As they got to Katzenberg's office, Kinsey paused to exchange some pleasantries with one of the secretaries, and Rochlis got into the office ahead of him. As Kinsey walked through the door no more than 30 seconds later, he heard Rochlis say, "I think we should buy Pixar. It's an incredible deal." Kinsey stopped in his tracks. Rochlis was brazenly stealing his idea. Rochlis wasn't interested in Pixar's technology. He'd never even been there. It turned out it didn't matter. "No, no, no," Katzenberg said. "We don't want to mess with this." "Do you know the background?" Kinsey asked. "Yes, Jeff told me," Katzenberg said. "I can't waste my time on this stuff. We've got more important